how much student debt do you have? Outstanding student loan debt in the U.S. has tripled over the last decade. It's surpassed car and credit card debt. It's now only second to mortgage debt. Those student loans are more than $1.4 trillion nationwide. For some students, what you borrow can wind up being a fraction of what you ultimately owe in the end. So it's high time we have a heart-to-heart about student debt. It's On Your Money. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Financial planner Kevin McKinley is away this week. We have Jennifer Heppner here. She is the Director of Alumni Support at Herzing University in Menominee Falls. Jennifer, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning, Kate.
Well, let's first of all start out with your connection with helping students through their student debt and through what is on top of their minds as they approach their loans. How are you working with students?
Kate, the main way that we work with students is by, number one, helping them to remember and find out what all student loans they have and which agencies are servicing those debts. So how do they make payments? What should they do if they can't afford their payments and need to defer them or get a lower payment amount? And then, just if they have other questions such as, if I want to consolidate them all into one, what should I do?
And what are the main challenges that students walk in to talk to you about with their student loans?
I think the biggest challenge is just knowing how to get on the best payment plan is a big challenge. Mm. And knowing who to call and just knowing even what debts they have. Like I said, sometimes they take out loans while they're in school and use them to pay for school, but they might forget a particular type, like the Perkins loan frequently gets forgotten about because it's not at the same servicing agency that the rest of their loans are with, so they forget about it. And if they move or change their phone number, then that agency can't get a hold of them unless they remember to update their contact info, which they frequently seem to fail to do.
Right. So keeping that itemized list of the outstanding loans, who those contracts are, who those loans are with, and keeping all of that very safe. So what are the different types of loans out there?
Well, my expertise lies mostly with federal student loans. So that is loans that are where the money comes from the government. So direct loans is the biggest area right now for that. And then there are Perkins loans, which have a little bit different repayment options and different ways to qualify to get those. There are also the old FEL loans, the Federal Family Education Loan Program. That's what I have because I borrowed many, many years ago. Mm. That's the type of loan where you would have gone to a bank and taken out a loan, but the loan is backed by the federal government.
So these are federal loans, but what about private loans that are out there? What is the landscape like there?
Quite a few people do use private student loans, and those run the gamut. I mean, you can get private educational loans from banks, from credit unions, and different agencies, and they have different repayment arrangements, different interest rates. They're not typically as good as the federal loans, so they don't have as many options.
Do you feel like students go out on a limb when they start getting into that private loan arena? Do they have as many safety nets and as much support as they do in the federal loan area?
Not at all. So I do get nervous when students are taking out private education loans. However, if you are in a program where you're fairly certain you're going to be able to get a job and it's going to be a good paying job, I'm less nervous.
Explain for us what is a grace period and how it's part of debt management.
The grace period is something that federal student loans have. So that is once you drop below a half-time status in your enrollment in school, and that could be through graduation, but it could also be if you withdraw from school or you're simply not taking at least 6 credits. So you drop below a half-time status, then the clock starts ticking for 6 months typically before you have to start making payments on your loans. The Perkins loans do have a 9-month grace period on them.
And is it pretty clear as to when this clock starts ticking, or is it a little bit gray area there, a little arbitrary?
Well, it depends on when your school reports to the government that you've dropped below a half-time status. So there could be some issues with errors there. But then another source of confusion comes when the students maybe they're enrolled in school for a period of time, then they leave and their loans go into repayment, so they use up the grace period. Then they come back to school and take out new loans. And then when they leave the second time, students frequently think that all of their loans will get a new fresh grace period, but that's not the case. If you have loans that have used up the grace period already, they don't get another one.
You have no, and yeah, so not all loans are on the same grace period.
Correct. They're on different timetables based on when you took out the loan and when they entered repayment is kind of the term we use. They enter repayment after the grace period ends.
Jennifer Heppner is with us answering questions about student loans on this edition of On Your Money. She's Director of Alumni Support at Herzing University in Menominee Falls. You can join in with your questions, your situation, 800-642-1234. How much student debt do you have? Have you been able to make regular payments, or are your payments too high? Do you have to scrape by in order to make your payments? Are you trying to do less, more with less? Is how you manage your student debt working for you? 800-642-1234. You can email onyourmoney@wpr.org. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. So, Jen, let's dive in. When a borrower looks at their full student debt picture, you got the full picture there. You consider what to do about payoffs. What is the first thing that you should do?
You should get on the right payment plan. So, the federal government provides a bunch of different payment plans for direct loans. If you want to look at them all in detail, I recommend going to their website is studentaid.ed.gov, and they, under how to repay your loans, they will list all the different repayment plans available. And there are some payment plans designed to pay off the loans more quickly. That's the standard plan. Typically, it's a 10-year plan, and you will pay the least amount usually on that plan because interest accrues for less time when you pay it off more quickly. However, if that payment amount is not affordable for you, you can get on one of the income-driven repayment plans where it takes into consideration your family size and your income and your overall federal student loan debt and comes up with an affordable amount for you to pay.
Is that, do you think, the preferred route to go?
Yes. I think it's the best route because even if you're on that plan and you can afford to pay more, go ahead and do so. That's wonderful. If you can pay more than what is required, you'll pay the loan off more quickly. And if you're in a situation where you can't afford the standard amount, then this is more affordable and it will prevent you from becoming delinquent or possibly defaulting on the loan.
Let's go to Emily joining us from Eau Claire. Hi, Emily.
Hi. I'm wondering, I think she might have just touched on this earlier, but I missed the answer to the question. I am just approaching in June the 6-month deferment period ending because I graduated with my master's in December, and I'm wondering how to find the best plan for repayment that works for me and if there's a resource I can be going to that kind of walks through all of the steps, and it's hard to find unbiased information from the servicing agencies, and I'm just trying to find the plan that's going to work best for me.
So you've reached out, Emily, to the loan servicer?
Well, I'm just through their website and trying to find their plans that they list, but I don't know what's ultimately the best option when you look at interest rates and monthly payments and trying to not get too ahead of myself. I did pay off some in cash right away because I could take care of it and I wanted to alleviate a little bit of that burden, but I just don't know if there's a resource or people I could be talking to that would be unbiased in being able to provide information.
And before we get the answer from Jen, Emily, do you feel like you're in okay shape to take on these payments once your deferment has ended?
I think so, and I even tried to call ahead and start making payments sooner than the 6-month grace period, but that was a challenging process to navigate too, and so I waited the 6 months, but I was ready to start making payments as soon as I graduated.
Well, Emily, thank you so much for bringing your situation to the table. Jen, how does Emily go about getting, you know, straight talk, straight advice, and not biased information?
Congratulations on getting your master's degree, Emily. That's awesome. I would say you can go to this website that I just mentioned, Student Aid, all one word, studentaid.ed.gov. And then under how to repay your loans, there's actually a repayment estimator, and you can log into that. And if you have your FAFSA PIM number, I believe it is, or FSAID, and you provide your name and I think your Social Security number, it will interface with the government website, the National Student Loan Data System, and so it will see all of your student loans, all of your federal student loans anyway. And you can input your family size and your income, and it will come up with all of the different payment plans you qualify for. Hmm. It'll show you what your payment amount would be on a monthly basis, what you would pay over the life of the loan. And that's a really good way to see here which one of these is the best one for me. And keep in mind, you don't have to stay on one plan. If your circumstances change, you can also change payment plans.
Emily, thanks for the call. Let's go to Jonathan now in Lake Geneva. Hi, Jonathan. Go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, so my girlfriend and I are first-generation farmers that are going into our third year of farming this year. And we're both bearing student debt, making minimal payments, have car payments, you know, a lot of stuff.
Jonathan, you're breaking up. Yeah, so you're a farmer. Things are really tight for you. And what is the question here?
Yeah, I guess I'm just wondering if there's any sort of programs to help young farmers or if there's what the best way to tackle, you know, paying down this debt while also, you know, trying to manage, you know, growing the farm and potentially buying our own land out of farm because, you know.
Yeah, do you have farm debts as well, Jonathan?
Yeah, we do have a little bit of farm debt as far as, like, a tractor goes. And, you know, we're looking to maybe get another loan to help purchase a walking cooler that we need for storing produce and stuff like that.
All right. So, Jen, what do we know? Is there any help out there for young farmers when it comes to student debt?
I don't think so. However, I'm not going to say that I'm 100% sure that there is not. If you call your loan servicer, though, they should be able to answer that question with certainty. Do you know who the loan holder is?
Mine is Nelnet.
Nelnet. So if you, I don't know, maybe you have already. If you call Nelnet and ask them that specific question, they should be able to answer it for you. I'm not aware of anything, you know, help for, like, getting your loans discharged if you're a farmer. I know there are things for teachers and people who work in, like, nursing, but not for farmers. I would recommend getting on the best payment plan, though. I'm going to say the income-driven repayment plan is probably going to be the most affordable for you while keeping your loans in a good state so that it's not making it hard for you to get other loans.
Jonathan, thanks so much for the call. A report last month from the Government Accountability Office finds that many schools have hired outside consultants to encourage struggling student borrowers to put their loans into forbearance. That's a temporary postponement of their payments. We're talking about how to tackle student debt on this edition of On Your Money. Jennifer Heppner is our guide. She directs alumni support at Herzing University in Menominee Falls. You can join in with your questions, your stories, your takeaways, 800-642-1234. How much student debt do you have? Have you been able to make your regular payments, or are your payments too high? Is the way you're managing your loans working for you right now? You can call in, email onyourmoney@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation in just a moment on the Ideas Network. Student debt made many graduates during the Great Recession postpone life milestones like buying a house or getting married. The report last month also showed that nearly half of all borrowers took a job that was undesirable or out of their field because of their student debt. We're talking about the burden of student loans and how to get a plan. It's On Your Money. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Kevin McKinley is away this week. Jennifer Heppner is with us. She is Director of Alumni Support at Herzing University in Menominee Falls. You can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. Do you regret taking out student loans? Did the cost of higher education change your plan somehow? What did you do instead of taking out loans? What would you do differently about borrowing money for school? You can call in, tweet us at WPR Mornings. Full phone lines. Let's go to Charles in Rice Lake now. Hi, Charles.
Hey there. Thanks for taking the call. I'm just sharing this. I had a great experience with the teacher loan forgiveness. In one fell swoop, I had $17,500 of student loan debt eliminated. It still left me with a fair amount to pay back, but it more than cut in half my student loan burden. But I'm wondering, too, if the guest can comment on the status of the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. That was enacted just over 10 years ago. We're at a point where we ought to have some people qualifying for that, but I haven't really heard of anybody who has been able to access that program. So I'll take the response off the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles. Jen, loan forgiveness, where are we at with it?
Yes. So if you work in public service and you've made it's 10 years worth of payments on a qualifying payment plan, then you can get, if there is any debt left on your federal student loans, I should say direct loans, it will be forgiven. And right now, I know the current administration is putting forth some plans to try and change that. Some folks are trying to get rid of public service loan forgiveness, but it is currently still in effect. And so anyone who has made 120 payments, that's 10 years worth of payments, on a qualifying plan, which is one of the income-driven repayment plans, while working full-time in public service, so there are a lot of qualifiers there, then if you still owe any debt at that point, it will be forgiven.
Jen, have we seen any movement in the private sector, private companies adding to their benefits packages, helping with student loan repayment in any way?
Private companies, well, I am aware that there are many private companies that are calling people, including myself, and advertising that they can get your loans forgiven, for example, or get your loans out of default, and they charge pretty hefty fees for that. However, I want to say that those things can all be done for free by contacting the loan holder or you could just do it on your own, like I said, by going to this studentaid.ed.gov. It will provide you with guidance on what to do if you are in default or if you need to do a loan consolidation or if you want the public service loan forgiveness.
And we have,
tell you how to enroll there.
And
you
we
don't
have
need
a link. Yeah, and we have a link, by the way, to that federal repayment page on WPR.org. Let's go to Thea now in Milwaukee. Hi, Thea.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I had a question following up about the public service loan forgiveness. I just graduated with my master's, and I'm looking at getting a job that would be like a long-term kind of thing. And I've looked into the public service loan forgiveness a little bit. But in my search, I have come across other things online, and of course, you can't believe everything you see online, but I was just wondering if you knew of any loan forgiveness options that are out there that are definitely not legitimate or definitely legitimate, anything that you think someone in my position should maybe be aware of, because of course, I have plenty of loan debt from my undergrad and from my master's, so I'm just trying to figure out the best way to manage that and get forgiveness for some of it, if applicable at all.
Thank you, Thea. Jen, any insights there?
Yes. I would say a lot of them, I wouldn't call them not legitimate, but they're phrasing it in a way that is misleading. So a lot of these companies that you see online or who are calling are advertising forgiveness, and all they're really doing is enrolling you in one of the income-driven repayment plans, which if that those plans, they're sometimes called Obama forgiveness. It's where you, if you make payments for 20 years and you still owe an amount on your federal student loans after the 20 years worth of payments, it will be forgiven. That's what they're talking about. It's just getting on a payment plan that includes your interest and your family size and your total student loan debt.
Well, let's explore plans a little bit more. What steps should people take to determine what is the right repayment option? Because there is a standard plan, standard in air quotes. What is that?
The standard plan is just taking your debt plus the interest that will accrue over 10 years and dividing by 120.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a plan to get your loan paid off in 10 years. That is typically the fastest way, and you will be paying the least amount of interest on that way.
Another option is income-driven repayment. How does that work?
The income-driven repayment plans, there are a number of them, and there are some subtle differences between them. But for the most part, they all look at your family size. So that's how many people are you supporting on your income and your spouse's income if you file, if you're, you know, married and you file taxes jointly. Then it looks at your family income and your total student loan debt and comes, I don't know what the calculation is, but I've seen the result of it, and it comes up really with an affordable amount that someone should be able to pay on that income with that family size.
What about a graduated payment plan? Who does that tend to be right for?
A graduated plan was good for someone like me. When I first started out, I couldn't afford the standard plan, so it started out with small payments, and they gradually got larger over time.
Hmm.
So as I was in my job for a longer time and was better able to afford payments, the payment did increase. And that's at, it's at fixed intervals that the monthly payment amount goes up gradually. That's why it's called graduated.
And what then is the window for total repayment? Is it longer than 10 years? Is it
typically it's going to be longer than 10 years, and it would depend on your total loan amount, how long it would take you to pay off the debt, and also if you have periods where you're not making payment, that would extend the time frame as well.
And so let's say you pick a plan and you change your circumstances change and you really want to change your plan. Can you select a new repayment plan if what you have just isn't working for you.
Absolutely. I would recommend if that situation occurs, call the loan servicer and let them know your situation has changed. And it is really their job to find the best solution for you. You could also have in mind what you think the best solution for you is by kind of investigating, like I said, on this studentaid.ed.gov site. And you should have in your mind, I think this plan is right, and then talk to your loan servicer about it. But you can enroll in whatever plans you qualify for.
Let's go to Julia joining us from Madison. Hi, Julia.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering if there's any plan, if she's aware of any plans to drop the student interest rate.
How are your interest rates doing?
I have graduate loans, and they're 6.8%.
And have those remained steady, or are they fixed?
Yeah, they're fixed rates.
Have you tried to refinance?
I have looked into private refinancing, and I can drop them a little bit that way. But it's tough. When she talks about the income-based repayment plans, my income-based repayment plan doesn't even begin to cover the interest rates on my loans. Mm. So it's quite disheartening to be making payments every month and not even beginning to touch my principal.
Do you mind sharing how much loans you have? How many?
They're about 150.
150. Is that total undergrad and grad, everything combined?
Just graduate
level, yep. $150,000. And you're repaying right now on those loans?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on one of the income-based repayment plans.
Got it. Jen Heppner, your insights.
I feel your pain. That can happen with that large of a debt. And so your loan is growing over time. Remember, if you do stay on the income-based repayment plan and you continue to qualify for that low of payments that's not covering your interest, then after 20 years, if there is any amount left, it will be forgiven. 20 years worth of payments, I should say. And you've already investigated the other way to decrease the interest, which is a private consolidation loan. That would be the only other thing I can think of. There is, if you sign up for auto debit, there's a very small decrease. I think it's 0.25% if you pay by auto debit, but that's really minuscule.
Are we seeing any sense that interest rates for student loans will go down at all?
Well, they are, I believe they're currently lower than the 6.8%,
uh-huh.
But no, I don't really know a lot about that, like trends.
Right. How does repayment for private loans differ from federal loans?
Typically, there are just fewer options. So if you do have private educational loans, and, for example, you are unable to make your monthly payment, there are fewer options. Like federal student loans have an unemployment deferment. If you are unemployed or working less than 30 hours a week and you can't afford your payments and you're seeking full-time employment, you could qualify for an unemployment deferment for 6 months, during which you would not have to make payments on your loans. There is also economic hardship deferments for people who receive, for example, food stamps, or they are working full-time, but it's just such a low amount that they can't afford their payments. You can get that for up to a year at a time, and most private lenders don't offer those types of options.
Now, if you have multiple loans out there, is there any particular order in which you should pay loans off? Should you prioritize those with the highest interest, or what should your focus be?
Well, first you should always make whatever the monthly payment is, make that on all of your loans. And then if you have extra and you want to pay some extra, I would seek to do so on the ones with the highest interest rate. So put that extra down on unsubsidized loans that have the highest interest rate would be my recommendation.
And Kenneth from Janesville called in to ask if student loans could be consolidated with home loans, or is there any consolidation that could happen in this arena?
There is. You would have to go to a private lender, so a bank or a credit union, something like that. You can't do a federal student loan consolidation and include your mortgage loans, but if you go to a private lender, they would likely include your federal student loans and the mortgage or some other debts that you have.
Now, we're hearing how colleges have started hiring these outside consultants who are trying to perhaps steer students with loans toward forbearance. Can you tell us what is forbearance, first of all?
A forbearance is just a temporary postponement of payments. And we actually recommend that if someone is past due on their student loans, and you could use forbearance for a temporary period of time. The reason it's easy to use because you can typically get one over the phone from your loan servicer without filling out paperwork, but it's just a period of time during which you don't have to show that your income is low or that you're unemployed and seeking full-time employment, but you can just have no payments due for a period of time up to a year. The bad thing about forbearance is that interest is still accruing on all of your loans, and at the end of the forbearance period, that interest gets capitalized, meaning it's added to the principal amount of your loans. So it's not good as a long-term solution, but it can be good as a short-term solution so that you're not past due on your loans, and then you could be maybe filling out paperwork for some different solution that's better, like a deferment or a better payment plan.
Yeah, so how does that compare to deferment then? Does interest accrue during deferment?
While loans are in a deferment, interest will accrue on unsubsidized loans, but it does not accrue on subsidized loans or Perkins loans.
Analysis from the Urban Institute found that while some borrowers are still paying off their tuition loans, a bigger issue on the horizon may be the spike in loans meant to help a child or grandchild through their undergrad. That share of federal student loan borrowers holding a Parent PLUS loan roughly quadrupled over about a 20-year period ending in 2012. We are soaking in all this information on student debt, what to do about it. It's on your money. Jen Heppner is with us. You can join in with your questions, your experiences as you shoulder student debt, 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about your student loans? Have you paid off your student loans? What did you do? How long did it take? Join on air at 800-642-1234. You can email onyourmoney@wpr.org. We'll be back in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. Currently, just 4% of employers offer student debt assistance, but that's changing as more employers are realizing that education debt is a problem for many, many workers. Some companies that have offered employees help with their student loans include Fidelity, Aetna, and Penguin Random House. We're talking about how to deal with student debt on this edition of On Your Money. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Kevin McKinley is away this week, and Jennifer Heppner has stepped in to take your questions on how to deal with student loans. She's with Herzing University in Menominee Falls. You can join in the discussion at 800-642-1234. Have you put off major life milestones because you felt your student loans were holding you back? Too overwhelming. How much student debt do you have? Have you been able to make regular payments, or are your payments too high? You can call in, email onyourmoney@wpr.org. Let's go back to the phones now with John in Madison. Hi, John. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, ladies. My loans were held by the federal government, and I stopped making payments on them because I couldn't afford the payments because I was in a transition to a new job. The loans were turned over to a private collection agency So I have two questions. One is there any way to get my loans back in the hands of the federal government? Because I'd prefer that they hold the loan instead of the private collection agency. The second question is, what's the best course of action once a private collections agency holds the loans?
Mm. Great questions, John. Jen, go ahead.
John, do you know what type of loans they are? Are they Perkins loans, direct loans? Do you know?
And he just dropped off the call there. Yeah.
That's all right. Typically, when loans go into default, there are three ways to get them out of default and away from a collection agency. The first one would be to just pay them in full. And that's usually not feasible for most folks. Another way would be to do loan consolidation, which is if you go to studentloans.gov, you can apply for federal student loan consolidation, where you're taking out a new loan to pay off your old loans, and it pays off the defaulted loans, and then it's kind of like a fresh start. You can do that, like I said, studentloans.gov is the federal government website for doing that. Then the negative thing about that is that the fact of having defaulted on federal student loans will stay on your credit record for 7 years with either of those two options, full payment in full or consolidating. That it's going to affect you negatively on your credit. Then the third way, which I think is the best way if you can do it, is loan rehabilitation, where you contact the loan holder. So if it's a collection agency, you're going to have to negotiate with them. You talk to the loan holder and negotiate an affordable payment amount that you can actually make for 9 consecutive months, and the payments have to be on time. And then after the 9th, sometimes it takes 10 months worth of payments, but 9 or 10 monthly on-time payments, then your loans are considered rehabilitated, and they come out of a default status, so they're no longer negatively affecting your credit, and they go back to a regular Department of Education loan servicer. That's the best way to do it, I think.
Let's go to Tom now in Sturgeon Bay. Hi, Tom.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment. I had two children, first-generation college, and my wife and I had saved about $30,000 apiece for them. We told them to do the math and see what they had to do to work, do summer jobs, work while they were in school, to come out of school debt-free, which they both did. The comment that I would love to hear you guys tell these young kids is they need to realize when they're in school, they're making choices in the rest of their life that they have to pay this money back. This young lady, a master's degree that she got for $150,000, did she think that she was going to make the money to pay that back? Apparently she did. I have a daughter that just got a master's in teaching for $23,000 while she was a school teacher. And the payback on that's only going to be less than 3 years. So these people, you know, they need to educate the kids coming up too and say, hey, you don't want to get where I am because you can't dig out of it.
Tom, thanks for the call. Jen Heppner, these are difficult conversations, difficult kitchen table conversations to have.
Absolutely. I am in full agreement with sir. I definitely think it's a good idea to, as he said, work before you go to college and save up as much money as you can. Work while you are in college. I always had a job while I was in college, and then the summers I would just work 2 or 3 jobs and borrow only what you absolutely need. If you need to take, I know some schools are going to be mad at me for saying this, but if you need to take a semester off and just work and save up money so that you don't have to borrow, go ahead and do that. It might take you longer, but then you will be less in debt in the end.
Let's go to Susan now in Madison. Susan, go ahead. Hi.
Hi, my name is Susan. I'm from Madison. I just retired last year, and I've been paying off a student loan for, I think it's been about 20 years now, $500 a month. I've got about a $70,000 loan from a master's degree. It originally started with a Stafford loan, and unbeknownst to me, they pretty much sold it over to a large corporation, so now it's a private loan. One comment and then a question. The last caller talked about helping kids. One of the things I didn't consider is when you have a career, you really need to weigh what you're going to be making in that career before you decide to take out a loan for it, because sometimes the salary you make does not meet the needs of the loan that you take. Second part is, now that I'm retired, I'm hearing you say, I have no options. I'm stuck with $500 a month for the rest of my life. Is that true?
Susan, thanks. Jen, go ahead.
I definitely agree that before you take out student loans, you should consider the potential salary that you would be making on a job at the end of your program. That's definitely good advice. And then she said she's stuck with $500 a month for the rest of her life. I don't think that's true. So if you really can't afford that amount, then there are options for you. Is she still on the line?
Yeah, Susan, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Did you say what type of payment plan you're on right now?
Gosh, I'm just paying the minimum of the $500 a month. It's about a 7% loan. I've checked with my bank several times to see if they can give me something better, but they can't, because what they do is they tack on you have to finish payment within 10 years, and then the monthly rates go up immediately.
Hmm. And you said that your Stafford loan switched to a private loan?
I feel like that is not
even possible. You didn't do a consolidation with a private lender.
I did.
Oh, you did. Okay.
But
yeah.
I wasn't aware. I guess I thought that was what normally happened. Maybe I was the initiator of that, but I don't think I was very smart about it. Because
okay.
I lost a lot, like you said, I lost a lot of potential of how to make this payment.
Yeah, that makes sense. So if you did consolidate your federal student loans with a private lender, then you may be correct, because those private lenders typically don't have a lot of repayment options. They're not as flexible. And so then I would say you probably are correct, that you will just have to pay that amount, unless you can find some loophole in their rules and regulations for getting a lower payment, it's probably going to just be that.
Susan, thank you so much for bringing your situation to the table. Jen, what if you're totally or permanently disabled? What happens to your loans?
If you do become totally and permanently disabled, you can request that your loans be discharged, and you can do that by phone, you can do that by filling out paperwork, and again, I'm going to go to that studentaid.ed.gov site. It will tell you how to do that, but you should be able to get your loans fully discharged if a physician confirms that you are completely disabled and can't work in any capacity.
What are repayment options for members of the military?
The repayment options are the same for people in the military. However, if you are on active duty, they do have special deferments for people who are in active duty. So you do not need to pay while you're on active duty, but you do have to fill out a form and send it in, unfortunately, to your loan servicer.
We were just talking there about consolidation. Is consolidation right for everyone, or should we stay away from it?
It really depends on the situation. Mm. Consolidation can be very helpful for some people. When I see that folks have two or three or more loan servicers, consolidation could be very helpful for them to just have all of their federal student loans at one location and have one servicer to deal with. However, sometimes it's not a good thing. I mean, if you have one servicer and you can afford your payments, there's not really a need to do a consolidation. Another reason why it might be good is if you have the old FFELP loans like I do and you want to utilize some of the benefits of a direct loan, you could do a loan consolidation to, it's sort of like changing your FFELP loans into direct loans so that you can qualify for those different types of fancy payment plans that are only for direct loans.
Jen, have colleges, universities around the country changed their approach in interacting with students about their student loans?
I believe so. I mean, I know there's been a bigger change at Herzing, and I see other schools doing similar things. So more financial literacy is becoming kind of like a catchphrase and a thing to do at schools to teach students financial literacy, to have longer counseling sessions with them prior to them borrowing, to kind of get folks more of a sense of what are the payments going to be later, and is that going to be in line with a salary that I will be able to afford them, and to really try and guide students to borrow only what they actually need.
Let's go to Jeff in Gays Mills. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. Hi. I was listening to your guest talk about the military options.
Yeah.
And there's actually something a little bit better that, and it's still military, but if you enlist with an 8-year enlistment, and you have to talk to your recruiter about this, you can have your student loans forgiven.
So if you're go ahead.
And then if you go through the officer side and get a commission, it's 6 years.
Jeff, thank you so much for bringing that to the table. So, Jen, there are options in the military for loan forgiveness as well.
Excellent. That's public service. So I knew it was public service loan forgiveness. I didn't know about that 6-year thing he was talking about, though, so that's great.
Well, as we wrap up here, Jen, what advice would you like to leave us with given the state of student loans today?
If you've already taken out student loans and you have payments that you can't afford, don't just ignore it. Contact your loan servicer. Contact the loan holder. If you're not sure who your loan holder is, maybe contact your school and they could assist you. Or if you don't know who your loan holder is, call the Federal Student Aid Loan Locator. It's 800-433-3243, or go on the National Student Loan Data System and find your loans.
Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Jennifer Heppner is Director of Alumni Support at Herzing University in Menominee Falls, and she joined us as our guide to managing student debt right now here in Wisconsin. This edition of On Your Money was produced by Breanne Shasso and Colleen Leahy. Kevin McKinley is back next week. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this conversation comes to you on the Ideas Network.